ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Be talking about topics that were especially dear to Srila Prabhupada, because as you know, when he came to America, he had the idea to spread the Srimad Bhagavatam to as many people as possible. How many of you come here regularly to the program? How many of you here for the first time? Okay, welcome. Yay. Thanks for coming. And what brought some of you here tonight on a Friday night? Because I know you usually come on Wednesdays. But just as you've come here tonight, maybe you can just say what brought you, what compelled you to come tonight, especially. Thank you for coming all the way from Delaware. How are all the devotees in Delaware? There's a fledgling, well, I don't know if it's even fledgling nowadays, but there's a growing community of devotees there. Thanks for coming. Yes?
I came from Philadelphia too.
From Philadelphia. Thank you very much. Will you be able to stay over to tomorrow?
I'm staying for the weekend.
Thank you very much. Great to have you here. Who else?
We are here to meet you, Maharaj, and specifically for the monthly Sankirtan festival.
And okay.
Training.
Okay, good. Yeah, and especially tonight we'll be talking about the monthly Sankirtan festival because it's a service for everybody. It's something that everyone can participate in, and I'll tell you, especially today and tomorrow, why the monthly Sankirtan festival is fun and easy. There's no heavy expectations on anybody. It's meant for our own purification, going out and working together as a team. So there's no anxiety or anything like that. But when we all work together, then it becomes very productive. Anybody else? Yes. Thank you for coming.
I'm from Long Island, but I go to the Bhakti Center regularly.
Oh, you're from Long Island?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Nice. And so you commute back and forth?
Yeah, I work in the city, but I go to the Bhakti Center.
Great to see you here. Nice.
Happy to be here.
Fantastic. Well, would you say that we're ready to officially start?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah? Okay.
We're still setting up, but go ahead and start.
All right. So when we do refer to the screen, is there a way to have a little less flood light on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is, okay.
On the left.
All right. Hare Krishna Kaushtubha Prabhu. Now my heart's desire is fulfilled. Tonight, I'm going to start off just warming up a little bit with this presentation called The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword, because it'll get us a little bit oriented towards the subject matter. We may need an usher if somebody is good at ushering to seat people and stuff. So this is a phrase, the pen is mightier than the sword, that appears in a poem.
Can everybody see that, or it's too small? I mean, we might have to move this back, that would give it a bigger spread, but mine is bigger.
Can you see this in the back? Can you see the screen? Can you make it a little higher? There you go.
Is that better?
That's much better.
Is that better?
Someone will just have to sit under it and keep their head there. So.
Let me tighten it up.
That's much better, yeah.
Or droop. I'm going to have to go around the other side.
And so the pen is mightier than the sword. And I just want to talk about, first of all, a way to have some gratitude for the writings we do have. If you look on the left-hand side, you'll see some original scrolls written in an Indian language. This is how writings were done many, many years ago on palm leaves, especially in India. Of course, all over the world, various cultures have had various means of writing on stone, shell. People made their own kinds of medium to write on. And India, this requires a stylus. It's a metal stylus, and you'd have to press on the leaf itself. And then once you've made the impression, then you have to put the leaves in the sun. And once they are exposed to the sun, then they blacken in the areas where you've pressed the stylus. So if you can think about what it might take to write a letter, or if you're going to text home tonight, you know, what it would take to text somebody by using a stylus on some palm leaves, it might give you an idea of what it takes to write a whole book, or copy a book like the Bhagavad Gita. And then, of course, humans are endlessly resourceful and came up with the printing press. Very specifically, a man named Gutenberg came up with the first printing press that could mass produce. Mass produce means like 16 at a time, which was a huge thing, you know, when you consider this to this. Huge technology jump. And that was called the Gutenberg Bible that he presented, because he wanted to spread the Bible out far and wide. And so, what is the future of the book now? Sometimes people think that, well, maybe books won't survive because we have electronic media, but the research nowadays is all pointing towards the survival of the book. Not just survival, but it's thriving, actually. People are still buying paper books, and they're not going away at all. There's every confidence within the printing industry that books will go on way into the future. And it's not that electronic media is overtaking the printed book. So let's talk about what books are. Does anybody have a book that I could look at? Besides mine? I mean, it wouldn't look right. Just want to describe, when we think about books, what are they? Well, books are containers. Yeah, I'll take that one. Yeah, anyone. Thank you so much. You see a book, it's got physical size and shape. You can carry it around with you. It's one of the reasons people like books over electronic media. It has a beginning and an end. And it's got some aesthetic quality to it, too. In fact, being around book printers recently, book publishers, I've heard a lot about how much size, the shape, the geometric shape matters, the fonts. There's been a lot of research into fonts. For instance, the book I used in my, the font I used in my book is called the Truth Font. When people read that font, they tend to believe what they read. So if you've read my book and you believe everything I say, that's why. And sorry for that. But this is a container. Think of it as a container. And what does it hold inside? I mean, we see back here, of course, barely right now, but we can see the appearance of Krishna. And within a book that's talking about Krishna, it contains the pastimes of Krishna. What does it contain? It contains idea seeds. These idea seeds, when we pass books around, when we give them to other people, when we share them with others, then those idea seeds spill out into society and they make a difference. And the reason they make a difference, I mean, who mostly reads books as far as species go?
Humans.
Mostly humans. And why propagate literature, and why do these idea seeds become planted in the human mind and heart? Well, if somebody could tell me, as far as our philosophy goes, what category of energy is the living entity in general in, would you say?
Marginal.
Marginal. So we say marginal, or tatastha. And marginal really means that the living entity is not here or there. He can move from the material energy to the spiritual energy. Higher energy, lower energy. But the way I like to put it is, the living entity is open to suggestion. Thank you so much. Thank you, I feel much better now. So, what is the little jiva? When I say jiva, I mean the soul. So what is the jiva? You say. Everyone say together. There'll be a lot of call and response in this class. So, what is the jiva?
Open to suggestion.
And what's inside these books?
Idea seeds.
Yeah, idea seeds. And what are books?
Containers,
right. These are the three basic ideas that I've presented so far. And Little Jiva is open to suggestion. That's why people advertise. They put up big signs. They say, drink Coca-Cola. And why drink Coca-Cola? Because you'll be happier. And that's their. That's what they present. They say, open a bottle of happiness. And so the person sees it. Little Jiva sees it. He's open to suggestion. He sees the Coca-Cola pouring out in a glass. He's not happy. So he figures, oh, open a bottle of happiness. That ought to do it. So when he gets home, he opens it up. And every cell in his body is saying, don't put that in here. And Little Jiva goes, no, I saw it on the sign. I'll take it. Glunk, 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 glunk. And everyone's reading, hearing, and then these idea seeds go in their hearts and they're transformed. So books transform the world. And first of all, of course, we know about the Bible. In the expansion of Protestantism, there were some basic writings that got noticeably, measurably expanded the Protestant religion when they were distributed around the world. The Bible also, as it made its way around the world after being mass-produced, first by Gutenberg himself and then by the Royal Bible Society that made even better technology so they get Bibles out faster, then people started reading and appreciating and seeing that there's a tradition here, there's a culture, there's something that we want to be part of. And what about other traditions in the world? I'd like to ask anybody in the room that has heard, just heard of the theory of evolution, natural selection. Who's heard of it? A few of you, right? Now I'd like to ask how many of you have this book, Origin of the Species? Come on, you must have it in your car somewhere, right? At home? Maybe in the library, right? One person, scholar, academic family. And, you know, you might have it, but most people, if you ask people on the street all day long, nobody's going to have it. But if you ask everybody on the street, have you heard of the theory of evolution, what will they say?
Yes.
So why do they know about that? Because somebody took the trouble to write a book. Put it in a book, idea seeds spilled out, they went into the minds and hearts of people all over the world, and there was a foundational point that encouraged people to back up this idea, this philosophy.
Widely never read book in the world.
It's the most widely never read book in the world, and yet it had its, it has an ubiquitous effect. Economic systems that we know about all over the world. This particular book by Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, was responsible for ensconcing in human society basic ideas about economic systems that people often die for these days. And here's something that was presented by PBS some years ago, a history of Fidel Castro. He was at first just a little punk revolutionary, ended up in jail. And while he was in jail, he started writing. Well, what else do you do when you're in jail? Of course, they don't like it when you write subversive literature when you're in jail. So he wrote in lime juice. And lime juice is invisible when you put it on the page. But his fiancée, Mitra, would come and visit him, and she would apparently be taking out blank pieces of paper, but when she'd get them home, she'd expose them to the sun, just like I showed you those palm leaves in India, and they would reconstitute, and the lettering would be there. In that way, before he got out of prison, she had compiled a book of his writings suggesting that the people foment revolution, and that's just what they did. It was ready for him when he came out. Why? Because his writings preceded him in this book, History Will Absolve Me, was the catalyst for the revolution that Fidel Castro so successfully brought about by the pen. Now, how about America? This is a big experiment. If you go to Washington, D.C., you'll go to the National Archives, and there you'll see a copy of the original Magna Carta. You'll also see the Constitution of the United States and these original documents that people thought of and wrote down. But what about before that, when this was just a colony of the British Crown and people wanted to break off? Because living entities like to do stuff like that. So they got together, but they didn't get together until this happened. And to date, this book, Common Sense, written by Thomas Paine, is per capita the best-selling book of all times, because he sold it in the colonies for a little donation, and it everybody read it, and it suggested a way to break off from the British crown. And according to all historians, they're all in agreement on this, that that is what galvanized the people to rise up and bring about the American Revolution, that made this experiment available to the world and to all of us. That's why we're sitting here, right? So books, we like to say, are weapons of mass instruction. And they have a more profound and lasting effect than do weapons, ammunition that blows people up, because they persuade people, because living entities, when they're persuaded, they act by their own volition. So, a sampradaya, those who are following closely the Hare Krishna movement know that we're following a tradition, which we call a sampradaya. And a sampradaya actually means the complete gift, complete gift giving. That's what it really means, sampradaya, to give the greatest of gifts to others, to pass them on. And in our line, as far as literature goes, we have this book, Sri Brahma Samhita. In fact, those of us who go to any morning program in a Hare Krishna temple know that the several verses from this book are what we sing every single day. And where did it come from? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself found it at the Adi Keshava temple in South India, and then had it copied by hand by scribes, who, by the way, most of whom were illiterate. They just copied things. They were like going to Kinko's or something like that. You take it there. And they made a lot of mistakes. So it was an arduous process bringing out literatures. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so concerned that this literature be preserved and passed on that he personally went and had it copied and carried it and passed it to his favorite disciples. And it was passed down to us through that same sampradaya. And this is another book, Krishna Karnamrita. And these are just recent examples, but all of the books that we have are miraculously preserved and passed down to us. They're actually miracles. It's a miracle that we have, for instance, the Bhagavad Gita, which is the perhaps the best preserved of all the literatures, the spiritual literatures in the world, because they've been watched over so carefully by all of the great teachers or acharyas over the years who have commentated them. And I've made sure that it's come down unchanged, the Bhagavad Gita. But all these literatures that we have been carefully passed down to us from one loving hand to the next. Now comes a little quiz for all of you. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Do you have enough air to breathe? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're bathing in fresh air, and 1 means that you're choking, ready to get out of here. Where are we, Kashtuba? Out of 5. Is it possible to get more air? It would be nice. I've noticed in surveys that I've done that people think better when they breathe air. Okay.
I've turned on high fans.
Okay.
The
temperature
is 72.
That's really cool.
That's really cool.
That is just, it can be really cool.
No.
Okay.
It says in the Isha Upanishad that Krishna controls those who supply the air and rain. So it's hard for us even to turn one of these on. What to speak of manage the temperature in the whole universe. Now, I want you to look at this picture carefully. Does it look familiar to you? Have you seen this picture before?
Yes. Yeah.
You're certain about that? Yes? You're under oath now, so be careful. Okay. You've seen this picture before. I want you to tell me what about it is anachronistic. What looks out of place time-wise? When was this picture taken, by the way? Dawn of Creation. It's taken at the Dawn of Creation by iPhone, probably one back then, I don't know. Okay, so at the Dawn of Creation, this picture was taken. And so this is Brahma, who is the first created being, and this is Krishna. Now, what looks anachronistic about the picture? A book in his hand. And that's something Rabindra Sarup Prabhu told me about when he wrote the foreword to my book, Our Family Business. And I had asked him to write the foreword because when I was coming to Philadelphia, he was so enthusiastic about expanding book distribution. And I was surprised because some people had told me, you know, oh, he's not into book distribution. I said, you're really into this. And he goes, I was there. Prabhupada personally told me. So anyway, he wrote the foreword for my book, and it's a beautiful foreword. Everything he writes is amazing. So he brought to my attention that we're actually called the Sampradaya of the book. And that's why Brahma is pictured with a book in his hand, because of what we pass down. Now, I want you to look at a few more pictures. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, we get a little more air in here. Okay, so who is that? Okay, be a little bit enthusiastic. Who is it? Okay, now, remember I told you about how books used to be wrote. What's he writing?
A book. Bhagavatam.
A book. You could just use the word a book. Say it.
A book.
Yeah, it's a word you can really project because it's got a
book.
A book, say.
A book.
Yeah, you're going to have to work with me on all these. Okay, Srila Vyasadeva, and what's he writing?
A book.
Yeah, that's at about a 2. I'm trying to get up to a 4 if you could. Okay, who is this?
Madhvacharya.
Srila Madhvacharya, and what's he got in his hand?
A book.
Correct. You get it? You're catching on and doing well? Okay, who is that?
Rupa Goswami.
And what is he kneeling before and writing?
A book.
Correct. Okay, if these are SATs, you're getting up towards over 1,000. Srila Sanatana Goswami, what's he sitting there writing?
A book.
Correct, absolutely correct. And who is, what is this group?
The Sikh.
And what are they famous for?
Books,
yes. Okay, and who is this?
Srila
that is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I just noticed something about this picture there. He's posing with something. Correct, very good. Okay, let's try more. Who is this? I'm noticing these things for the first time. What's he posing with? Okay, let's try one more. Who's that? Yeah, this is his place. This is where he started it all. And what's he got next to him there? Correct. Now, I would like to say, if anybody's noticed a pattern. Any pattern?
Books.
Okay, thank you. You passed. Okay, everybody else? Too much hesitation. Okay, books. Very good. So we can see that our sampradaya is called the sampradaya of the book for a reason. Our acharyas go deeply into books. Not only they go deeply into them, but they're interested in disseminating books. Joseph T. O'Connell, the preeminent late Joseph T. O'Connell, he was the preeminent scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism from McGill University in Montreal, said that the soft institution of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the Gaudiya literature. And he said, of course, there's a hard institution and then there's a soft institution. He said the hard institution, which is the way in which we organize ourselves and we have an executive body and we have all kinds of ways in which we hold together, hopefully someday a constitution, things like that. And then there's the soft institution. Of the two, he said the soft institution is better at expanding Krishna consciousness around the world. He said, the Gaudiya literature, he said literature in general is meant to disseminate culture. He said culture means that which is real, right, and valuable to any given group of people. And that by distributing literature, one is able to transport culture across time and geography. And so the distribution of transcendental literature is something that Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again as the perfect gift for the people of the world. And therefore he said that we should print as many books in as many languages and spread throughout the whole world. So just getting the books themselves is a miracle. What to speak of getting them in the kind of shape that we have them now, which is, they're really actually well done. Not only in English, but also translated into many, many languages of the world. So if you're able to get your hands on any of these, consider yourself fortunate. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted also that you're in America, if that's where if this is where you live, because here we have freedoms that far exceed what you get in other countries. I was in Vietnam a few years ago, and as soon as we got off the plane, the devotees who picked us up said, "Don't do anything. They're already watching you. You'll end up in the police station if you try to pass out books or do anything like that." We can walk right out the door here and stand there all day. Nobody will bother us. So this is just a warm-up for the other program that I'm going to talk about tonight, but I wanted to see if you have any reflections from what I've presented so far. A reflection means, by the way, anything that you've heard so far that's stuck in your mind, that feels like you could take it out of here and maybe you'll use it later, something you'd pass on to someone else. What one thing did you hear that impressed you in some way? A book, yeah, very good. Okay, good, yes.
For me, new to hear tonight was the people open to suggestions, because I know about the power of the book and this is the seed, but I never thought about that people open to suggestions. Maybe not everybody, but mostly, you know, in like all the examples you gave with Coca-Cola and everything I knew it because I was open to suggestions.
Oh, thank you. And for our online audience, she said that the point that impressed her is that jivas, living entities, are open to suggestion. Because she had thought of many other aspects and not that. We don't have a second mic, do we, to pass around? No? Okay. I'll repeat whatever you say. Yes, Maharaj, and then Mataji.
I was surprised to hear that the book publishers are saying that books are doing just as good as they always have been, if mm-hmm. not better. They're not being... I always felt the books would still be around.
Marge was saying he was surprised to see that the research that books are being projected to be around for a long, long time, and they're holding their own. Yes?
Books are idea seeds?
Yes, books are containers, and they hold idea seeds. And when they spread out into the world, they plant ideologies in the hearts and minds of the people, and it spreads. People take books very seriously. When you take the time to organize a book, put it together, which is no easy thing. It's like building a house, actually. I've written one book, and so it's like it takes the same amount of thought, planning, and endeavor to build a house as it does to write a book. And when you do that, it stays around for a long time. It gets around to a lot of people, and also people take it seriously because you wrote it down and you organized it within a couple of covers. Yes, a couple more. Sampradaya means extreme giving, means giving the best thing. That's what we are. We're a group of givers. We're here passing on the best gifts that you can possibly get. And that's what our movement really means. It means to give and give and give and give the best things to people. And do it in ways that they can take it also. Because there have been many giving movements around the world, and when people don't take, then they pull out a sword and say, okay. But we want to open people's hearts and attract them to giving in ways that the gift will go in deeply into their heart. And that's a great art. Yes?
I recalled one lecture of His Holiness Shivaram Swami, where he stated that in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, according to some, some records, there were like at least 5,000 books and commentaries of different acharyas written, and in this regard, our Sampradaya is the most writing tradition in the world.
Prabhu is pointing out that Shivaram Maharaj once commented that there's over 5,000 writings from our various acharyas, and that far exceeds other sampradayas in the sheer volume of the books that we have, right? Yes, thank you. Okay, so, Kashtuma Prabhu, go ahead.
Books change society.
Books change society. In fact, that's mostly what does it. And I showed some anecdotal evidence, but when you go more deeply in it, you'll find that movements all over the world are formed by the book. And you'll also find the opposite. When despots would like to hold on to power and not have other people have any say anything, one of the things that they do is burn books or ban books or censor books. Like when we were in Vietnam, we were getting the Bhagavad Gita printed, and it had to go through several censors to make sure that there was nothing subversive in there, and it has to have the government stamp. They're very careful about bringing it out. In Russia, it's been very contentious about our Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's a great, they're very fearful of that book getting out because it challenges their norms, and they know the power of literature, and people get it. In Russia, before the Iron Curtain came down, books, devotees were able to smuggle in some books. In fact, they were trying to figure all kinds of ways. Boats were going under bridges, and they would drop packages on them and hope they would end up there. Some devotees risked their lives to smuggle them in the engine blocks of cars and things like that. And when the books actually landed there, people started copying them by hand. They also had underground printing presses, and it made a huge difference. And when Perestroika happened and a huge truckload of books came in legally, that changed everything. The mass of people started to take to Krishna consciousness because of the availability of the literature. So that's the foundational point to spreading a philosophy or an ideology so that people will take it. Yes?
I'm aware that books for me elicit emotion, and when you showed the picture of Sri Prabhupada, and I've never been in this building before, that tears welled up in my eye because, like, I'm sitting and breathing in the airspace of where he was, and then to be in your presence, because I've been watching you on YouTube for, like, months, and just the whole thing, and holding a book, the Bhagavad Gita, elicits emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that same feeling when I saw that picture of Prabhupada at the end, and how he was sitting with his books, and we're all sitting here together. And it's very impactful and meaningful, isn't it? Yes, thank you for bringing that out. Yes. Last one, yes.
Rameshwar Prabhu told us that Prabhupada, you know, he told him that every letter he writes, he's thinking about how it's going to be the law books for the next 10,000 years.
Yes.
So how painstakingly Srila Prabhupada wrote these books, so many books in such amount of times that it really blew my mind.
Yes, Mahotsava Prabhu was talking about how Prabhupada had told Rameshwar Prabhu, who was instrumental in developing the BBT in the beginning years and was a recipient of many of his instructions, that his books would be foundational law books for 10,000 years, and that it was very important to get them out into human society. And I just gave a little glimpse as a warm-up of why that is important. Oftentimes, people might think, oh, you know, reading books, distributing books, making them available, that's kind of outdated. You know, that was a different era, and it was a little sentimental, and, you know, people did it back in the old days or something. No, it's as relevant, if not more, now than it ever was. And people value the gift that keeps on giving, the book, more than most things in their lives. When they get something that actually has substance to it, that they can look at and revisit, that bolsters their spirit and gives them direction in life, they feel great gratitude in their hearts for that. And so that's one of the great gifts that Srila Prabhupada brought to the world, among many others. But much of the ways in which he worked very hard to develop infrastructure was to take care of the results of the books we're distributing. Because people would read them and say, okay, where's the people? And how do I do this? You know, where's the environment I can practice this in? And that's why we have the kinds of centers that we have around the New York area, in people's homes, at the Bhakti Center, at the Brooklyn Temple, here at 26 Second Avenue, everywhere. It's meant to follow up. And the reading of those books will go on and on as the substantive aspect of our Krishna consciousness movement. And now I have one more presentation, because you all have rapt attention and we have a few minutes left, right? I'm going to switch over. Are you familiar with Mac? Just push this. Who's a Mac head in here? Or do I have to come? Okay, Kushtuba's coming down. Oh, don't. No, just push escape. Kushtuba.
He's got it. Right there.
Escape, and then you have to go to the bottom. And push on the PowerPoint. Select PowerPoint. The P.
Two over.
Oh, I see. We can see here. There it is. There it is. And now scroll over on the bottom on the PowerPoint and push that little thing that looks like a projector. That one right here. Click that. Okay. Now, this verse was written. How is everybody, by the way? Everyone okay? You're fine? Okay, good. I'm happy too. I love this verse. This is an original verse written by Kushikrata Prabhu, who was a genius. And he was a very reclusive genius, too. I was with him when he learned Sanskrit. He just picked up a book and went and sat by himself and then came out and goes, okay, I know it. And he started translating everything in the world and writing verses. He wrote tens of thousands of original verses. And one of them, seeing the fierce army of illusions put forward by the forces of Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada has released an unlimited shower of powerful arrows in the form of his books. So, we call these sessions that we're having this weekend Sankirtan Orientation Sessions, or SOS. We have them in many places around the world. And we do that so that we can regather our focus on the importance of reading books and also making them available to other people. And also, I go into some detail about how to do it, because we have some processes that when you learn, you'll find that it's actually quite a pleasing experience to meet people and to offer them this great gift, the Sampradaya, the gift giving. So here I'm going to talk about our legacy and the four laws of book distribution and a little bit about the monthly Sankirtan festival. Here's sort of the illustrated point about the complete gift coming down to us and thinking about how we're giving gifts. And then we go in our history coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mood of Sankirtan or devotional service in general. And how does it get started? And how do we get Lord Chaitanya or Krishna in our lives in the first place? Well, Srila Advaita Acharya, one of our great heroes, who's actually an incarnation of Mahavishnu, who knows a little bit about the material world because he helps to create the whole thing. Not helps, he actually does. But there are other subsequent creators after him. And he has so much compassion for the souls in the world that when he advents in this form of Advaita Acharya as an elder to Lord Chaitanya before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he begins to pray out loud that you must come to help the people. Only if you come personally can you help the people. They're so fallen in Kali Yuga. And he found a verse in the Shastra that says, if you offer to the Lord Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, then he's so indebted to his devotee, if you offer those things, that he'll sell himself to the devotee. So he said, I found the verse, this is how I'm going to get him. So with loud cries, he would worship his Shalagram Shila with Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, and he would ask for the Lord to please descend. And later when Mahaprabhu comes, he'll say, he called Advaita Acharya Nara. So he said, Nara, you woke me up. I was dreaming you told me to come to this world. And an interesting fact about this picture, this original picture, which was done by Parikshit Prabhu, at the time when he was reading the manuscript of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and it mentioned a Shalagram Shila, he didn't know what a Shalagram Shila was or what it looked like. Nobody did at that time because there weren't any in ISKCON. So he took it to Prabhupada and Prabhupada actually sketched this. And that was the basic sketch Parikshit showed us that Prabhupada had given him to see it's what a Shalagram Shila and a little Shringasan like that looks like. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And why? Because his pure devotee asked him to with sincere feeling. So that's the essence of devotional service. If you have a sincere desire in your heart that Krishna enter your life and you cry out for him, he'll appear, he'll come. That's what he does. And when we chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Nobody can hold us back if we want to express our emotions like that. Even if they put you in jail, you can still keep chanting like that. Just don't stop. And Krishna will appear in miraculous ways, and our lives become happy when he does. So here is appearing, and he started his Sankirtan movement 500 years ago. Now there's two parts to the Sankirtan movement. So let's see if we can memorize them. The first part, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, was chant Hare Krishna. So what's the first part? That's part one. Do you all have that?
Yeah.
What's the first part?
Chant.
I'm not convinced you got it. What's part one?
Chant.
All right, all right. Okay. Part two is? What's part two? Part two? Part one? Part two? One? Two? One? 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 Two? Two, two, two. Okay, I think you've got it. If I wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, what are the two parts of the Hare Krishna movement? You'll say? And I'll let you go back to sleep, okay? All right, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened a marketplace of the holy name. What's marketing? It's a combination of quantitative reasoning skills, imaginative reasoning skill. There's a lot of aesthetics involved in developing a brand. You know, you think of the colors, you think of the fonts, you think of the impression it has on other people. And you also, you want to have your product, you know, easily consumable by the people. And then you also measure, how are we doing? You know, how are we going to know that we're actually expanding? Marketing is a big thing. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda were into, although it looks like they're just into dancing all the time, but that was their idea. was to market this and make it available to people all over the world. In fact, part of their mission statement, which was passed on to us, was every town and village, everyone say, every town and village. That's a nice mission, vision, that this will happen in every town and village. And here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers dancing down the street of Miami, Florida, which is not too far-fetched, because now, look at, with that idea in mind, there's over 500 Rathyatras that take place all over the world nowadays. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement became hidden. Now, whenever you take to any endeavor, don't get discouraged, because what happens when you first take up a discipline or you try to form a movement, first thing that happens is, as when the demigods and demons were churning the milk ocean, poison comes out. All kinds of things happen that don't seem like everything's going right, but you have to keep going. And then other things can happen, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement became hidden soon after he left. But it wasn't that it disappeared. It wasn't extinct. And the great Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1891 revived the marketplace and the marketing plan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought it back to life. And he declared at Surbhi Kunj, the marketplace of the holy name is now open. Now you can say Jai.
Jai!
That's a big deal. He reopened the marketplace, making it available. And by the way, he was the first Amway. He thought of this whole system to get a lot of people, each doing a little bit, sharing in their own villages, but connected to a big whole. And with everybody sharing a particular task in the big, big marketplace, getting everybody involved. And then he prayed, bring help. And remember we heard about Advaitacharya and how he prayed? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying, I need help, I need help, I need help. And he prayed that, let me have a son that will help me spread this all over the world. And he also predicted a personality will soon appear to spread the movement. Meanwhile, there are other pure devotees keeping the pure vibration of the holy name going and inspiring everybody with the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here is that ray of Vishnu who appeared in the family of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who made the marketplace of the holy name expand in miraculous ways all over India. The Gaudiya Math was a very successful organization with some of the greatest writers and thinkers and devotees in India who joined together under the banner of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they were distributing tens of thousands of literatures. And he spread it all over India. He took it to Burma and England as well. He sent a group of devotees to England, and his full intention was to make sure that it went all over the world. So when our Srila Prabhupada at the time, Abhay Charan Aravinda Das, met with his guru. He was a grihastha, And most of the close followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were sannyasis, brahmacharis. Prabhupada's mood at that time was, what can I do to help? His guru told him, he said, if you ever get money, print books. What should he do if he ever gets money?
Print books.
Correct, print books. That was his mood. And Srila Prabhupada said, I took up this from his mouth that he is very fond of books. So here's, I love this picture, Srila Prabhupada leading the charge into the Western countries, coming to New York City with the book raised up as the ways and means to inculcate this philosophy into society. And you'll see in his writings on the Jaladutta as he's entering into the American water space that he's thinking about how the Srimad Bhagavatam will be injected into human society, and by that vibration the people will become purified and take up the Krishna consciousness movement. So Srila Prabhupada successfully spread the marketplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. And not an ordinary human task. It's an empowered superhuman task. Now, let's talk about small beginnings. And you can read all about this in the Lilamrita, how small Prabhupada started. But this was his first pamphlet to market his Bhagavatams. At the time, he only had 3 volumes of the first canto. You've seen those? And so that's what he brought. And here's what he said, 60 volumes of elaborate English version. That's what he advertised when he had 3. And he also advertised all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. He had no money, no place to stay. All he had was this mission statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this would go all over the world. Not only that, he had the backing of the best venture capitalists in the world. It's mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the best spiritual capitalist. Now, in Silicon Valley, where I come from, people start up companies all the time. One of the first things they think about is where are we going to get the backing, the cash to do this. For anybody who wants to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, you should know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is willing and ready to back you at any time because he's a spiritual capitalist. So Prabhupada says, by printing books, we can actually inject our movement into the masses of people all over the world. Welcome, everybody. And let's see, are there spaces for more devotees to be comfortable? Looks like there's more room. Please make yourself comfortable and thank you for coming. How's everybody now? You all right?
Yes.
2 people are okay.
Yes.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people are okay. 10. And you just walked in, so. So that doesn't count if you just walked in. Okay. Ready? Mm-hmm. Keep going?
Yes.
Okay. These are a few quotes. I won't have too many more long quotes, but these are just ones I found to be profound that Prabhupada wrote in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita. I want everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to deliver all the fallen souls. I like this idea of distributing books and preaching. That is Lord Chaitanya's plan. So Prabhupada equated outreach, gift giving with distribution of transcendental literature. And he said, regarding Sankirtan book distribution also is also chanting. It's spoken kirtan. So this is an important point that when you write down transcendental words, tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadyavat yapi namanyanantasya yashonkitan yat shinvanti gayanti grananti sarava. This is Narada Muni. He says in the Bhagavatam that the Bhagavatam itself is meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. And he says it's full of the names and pastimes of the Lord. Namanyanantasya, the names, pastimes. So when it's written down, then it becomes extremely potent. As I mentioned before, it's able to cross vast areas of geography and time spans. and deliver the culture to other people. The idea seeds spill out when they're in the form of these containers, the books. And so Prabhupada said that he equated the chanting with the books. So he said, print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. And there's that picture again that we saw. So he talked back then in the 1970s about how the communists had been so successful and were being successful in India at the time, converting people to communism, especially by the mass distribution of their literatures. And he said, I want you to do it at the same speed. Now, we may think, oh, we're the Hare Krishna movement, we're into books, we distribute a lot of books, but let me bring us down a few notches by showing you other groups who do it way better than we do. For instance, there's the Watchtower, the Jehovah's Witness, who are really nice people and have an incredible organization for distributing their books. They have they print their own books, and they have their own presses. They actually even make their own ink and paper. They have factories that do all that. They harvest the resources that create all that. They're very centered on books, and they're distributing right now in 239 countries, 595 languages, 46 million copies per month they do. Now, we could do that here in New York if we just get a little organized, and that's what I want to talk to you more about over the next couple days and weeks and years to come, is how we can inundate New York City in a very nice way, but systematic way, with transcendental literatures. 46 million a month sounds good to me in New York. What do you think?
Yeah.
Anybody? If you think that's a good idea, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
It's a good idea. Okay, so the Gideons, oh, they're doing way bigger than we are. They map out the whole world every year, and they have projections for every part of the planet of how they're going to distribute more and more of their Bibles. And there's their Holy Bible. 200 countries, more than 100 languages. May of 2016, 91.8 million copies distributed. Target 120 million by 2020. More than 2 copies of the Bible distributed per second. Per second, per second. So they're a very organized organization, and they're having huge impact in countries all over the world by their distribution of Bibles. So here's a truth that you can take with you that I think you'll find very enlivening. And that is that the direct, this is a quote from Prabhupada's purport in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. The direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal potency. And this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. So let me ask you, what is the means for seeing the Lord face to face?
Internal energy.
And how is that internal energy manifested? From the direct order. Isn't that profound? That a direct order coming from the spiritual master, coming from Krishna, is a manifestation of the internal potency. And it is by that particular energy that one comes to see the Lord, what?
Face to face.
So this is very encouraging to all of us, a very optimistic statement, because anyone can take up a direct order. Here's a direct order for you, or more of a request. What does this say? I'm saying it because, okay, please go ahead. I'll say it. What does it say? Yeah, for our friends online, it says, so kindly help me, this is my request. I want that you, all my students, shall very vigorously try for this book distribution. So this is a request that he put out quite frequently. In fact, there are even other statements that are more in the form of orders. And anyone can pick them up. You can pick it up from any generation and say, okay, I see the order, I'm picking it up. And you'll have then a connection with the internal potency of the Lord. And it's by that potency you come to see the Lord face to face. Here's what Krishna says. There's no servant of this world more dear to me than he. Another attempt at bringing in air? Possible? You seem to be the air acharya.
Yeah.
Bhakti Ken, let's have... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hey, I hear there's air coming in now. These are direct statements by Krishna. There's no servant in this world more dear to me. This is from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He orders, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. You can pick that up. Put it in your pocket. Wake up in the morning, look at it, and say, this is what I want to do. You say, I don't know how to do it. I don't know if I'm qualified, but I'm going to try. And when you do that, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there to back you. This is active and daring service. This is what exciting life is about. And take a risk. Otherwise, life is kind of boring. You're just trying to survive and not go off the edge. Take a stand. Take one of these orders and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a positive contribution. Prabhupada also said that when you take this up, you get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. That's a letter he wrote to Dayananda and Anandarani, that if you just try, it doesn't mean you have to be an expert, but if you just try to do it, you'll get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. And I see this regularly. When you go out into the great unknown, that's what it is, past the threshold of your door, wherever you may live, and you say, I'm going to go try to do this, what's the first thing comes in your mind?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Are you crazy? You know. You know, it's like, I think I hear my mom calling me. She wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Anything but walk out in the great unknown and try to fulfill this order, to even in a small degree. There's a kind of a resistance in the universe, with a capital R, that holds us back from these kinds of endeavors. So what happens if somehow or other you fortify yourself with knowledge and these instructions and association, and then you venture off into the great unknown, the outdoors, where you could meet anybody. You don't know what they're going to say or what's going to happen. And you just try. Well, Prabhupada says, you will get superior strength and knowledge about Krishna consciousness. That's what will happen. And that's why we go out. It's not to distribute a certain number of books or this or that, but it's actually for our own purification. It's the experience you'll have and the integrity you'll feel by trying to go out and fulfill the order in whatever way you feel you have the capacity to do it. Everyone who tries according to their capacity will get this result that Prabhupada's talking about. Therefore, a book distribution is a rapid way to make spiritual advancement. Now I'm going to talk about the four laws of book distribution, because when you follow these laws, then you'll be successful. I guarantee it. I promise you. I've seen it over and over again. In the last 6 years in America, we were 6 years ago in North America, the BBT was at a danger point. We had gone so low. BBT means Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. It's the company that prints the books. Prabhupada set it up himself. That's why it's named for him. And he gave it to trustees to run it. It was his great hope that it would expand and print books to make available to people all over the world. And that book trust had reached such a low level about 6 or 7 years ago that it was doubtful whether we could reprint certain books. It was hard to keep them. It's very difficult to run a company when the cash flow goes down. So it was in a very bad situation. And then devotees decided to work as a team. All the leaders in North America met in Dallas about 6.5 years ago, and everyone said, we're going to work as one team, one goal for North America, and we're going to expand book distribution, and we developed some systems that everybody could work by. And the foundation of those systems is the four laws I'm about to tell you about. But I think we've run out of time, so sorry. Just kidding. But before I go into the four laws, I just want to see if any of you, and I'll just go on to say that in 6 years, the North American BBT has tripled their income to the BBT. That is going from $700,000 to over $2 million remitted to the BBT. And all of you working together, everyone doing a little bit. Go ahead. Come on. Come on, that's triple. That's not double, that's triple. And they did it primarily by following these four laws of book distribution. Anybody can do it. It doesn't matter where you live. You can live in Delaware. You can live in Jersey City. You can live in Harlem. You can live right here. You're moving to Harlem. Anywhere you go, if you follow these four laws. But before I go into the four laws, I just want to see what reflections you have about the last segment. What did you see or hear in the last segment that stuck in your mind? If somebody grabs you by the arm when you walk out this door and says, what was that guy talking about in there? This is what you'll tell him. Yes.
Chant Hare Krishna, teach others.
That's right. There's two parts to the Hare Krishna movement. Number one is?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Number two is? Number one?
Chant.
Number two? Number two?
Chant.
Number two?
Chant.
Number one?
Chant.
Okay, prepare. I could be there at 1 o'clock in the morning to wake you up and say, what are the two parts to the Hare Krishna movement? Okay, what else do you have? What else did you remember? One thing that stuck in your mind from the last... Yes, that this is literary kirtan. It's written kirtan in the book. So now, when you put it in a book, it's a container. It holds these transcendental seeds that spill out into society. They implant themselves in the hearts and minds of the people. That's how ideologies form. And that's why people think in certain ways, because of the existence of these books. Yes?
46 million Bhagavad Gita's
46 million Bhagavad Gita's emulating the Jehovah's Witness?
Yes, sir.
Yes, per month. We have a lot of catching up to do. Other organizations are way ahead of us, way more organized. So let's get going. Yes?
Srila Prabhupada asked for our help.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada asked for our help. So that order is there as a transcendental lifeline to the spiritual world. If you grab onto that and do your level best at whatever in whatever capacity you can, that rope will pull you directly back to Krishna. You'll be able to see him face to face by following the order of Srila Prabhupada asking to distribute books. Thank you. Two more. Kashtuba.
Just by trying, you will be given strength and understanding.
Yes. If you just try to do this, Prabhupada said to Dayananda and Nandarani, that you will get superior strength and knowledge to understand Krishna consciousness. If you just try, do your level best, that means. Thank you. Maharaj.
If the communists can do it, we can do it.
If the communists can do it, we can do it. Yes, that's right. And Prabhupada noticed that, and he wanted us to do it at the same speed they were doing it. It was urgent for him. He wanted us to increase at that level. Two more. Way in the back. Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna says that there is no servant more dear, and there never will be.
Krishna says there is no servant more dear, nor will there ever be one more dear than the one who is giving this gift to the people of the world. Thank you. That was directly from Krishna. And one more? Who had their hand up? Oh, yes.
Become the spiritual master and liberate everybody in the world.
Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in the land. That means that one has to be strict, serious, and sincere in one's sadhana. Follow strictly and you'll be empowered to spread it to other people. Thank you. Now for the four laws. Does anybody want to stand up for 2 minutes to stretch? Let's stand up for 2 minutes. Now what I want you to do, just for 2 minutes, and when I come back to the microphone, we'll stop because we don't have much time. But I want you to introduce yourself to somebody that you haven't met yet and tell them one new thing that they don't know. Are you ready? Okay, stand up, meet somebody that's new, and tell them something they don't know yet. Go ahead. Mark it said go. Hey, how are
you? So happy to see you.
Oh, thanks for coming down.
Good.
How's your new digs?
Oh, it's nice. Yeah, we're settling in. It's just been a week.
Oh, nice.
That's, yeah, feels good.
Good.
That's nice. Starting to feel like a temple, which is...
Fantastic. You like it?
Yeah,
that's nice. Good. I can't wait to see what you got.
Oh, love to host you.
Well, I mean, even just take a peek, you know? See what's going on.
Let us know.
Okay, all right. Okay. It's nice. It's a nice test to see how everything congeals. At a point in time, something to do, everyone working as a team, see where the gaps are, see how we can improve next time. It's really good. Thank you for making it all happen. You're the point guard.
I just set up meetings. So that's it.
All right. I think I'll start it up again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Did you enjoy your intermission?
Yes.
Did you meet any new people?
Yes.
Did you learn anything new?
Yes.
Like what? Yes?
Well, actually, you actually don't know what other person does know, but does not. We came up with this first.
Oh, I see. Philosophical,
right?
So
you have to guess.
Okay.
From him.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Nice, nice. Well, now we're ready for the four laws, right?
Yeah.
Say yes.
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 Okay, here we go. Four laws of book distribution. You follow these laws and you'll be successful, I guarantee it. And it doesn't matter where you live, and it doesn't matter how much capacity you have now. If you start by following these four laws, you will be absolutely successful. You can start your own book distribution movement and turn it into an empire. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Yes!
All right. The four laws of book distribution, let's say them together. Number one, your sadhana must be strong. Two, you must get books. Three, the more you show, the more you sell. Four, you must organize. Here we go. First law is your sadhana must be strong. So the genesis of the Krishna consciousness movement is the transcendental vibration and how much we partake of it. We have to instill within our hearts this beautiful vibration and develop a taste. And to do that, one must be strict, serious, and sincere. These three words Prabhupada uses in various places in his writings, but I've strung them together in a little bracelet or necklace, whatever you prefer, that you can wear. And remember, strict, serious, and sincere. And there are differences between these. There's nuance and meanings of this, and I've talked about it in the book, Our Family Business. And when you have strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, you get a taste. If you, for instance, give full attention to your chanting of japa, the holy name of the Lord, and you're saying it from your own lips, from your own tongue, and you're concentrating deeply and praying as you're chanting, you may get a molecule of inspiration. One tiny molecule of inspiration from chanting very attentive and prayerful japa is enough to flood New York City with Krishna consciousness, one molecule of taste. No, actually, it will go beyond New York City. It will go across the whole eastern seaboard, one molecule, it will expand. No, It will go all the way from the eastern seaboard. It will make its way across the Midwest, all the way through Chicago. Chicago will be finished. It will go all the way into the western lands, past Arizona, Colorado, all the way into California, up into Oregon, up into Washington. No, it'll keep going across the ocean, down into Australia, into Europe, all over the world. One molecule of taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on the taste that the devotees have for chanting the holy names. So it's incumbent upon the practitioner to get that taste. One has to try for it. Otherwise, as Rupa Goswami writes in the Upadeshamrita, we're practicing what is called Niyamagraha, practicing without getting a taste. So every day one must plan for inspirational sadhana. You have to try to get that molecule of taste for in your practice of Krishna consciousness. When you have a molecule of taste, then you distribute the overflow. When we go on book distribution as an example, people aren't really buying the book. They're buying what's in your eyes. Do living entities know that you've heard and chanted with great vigor and that you had a molecule of taste? They absolutely know. One time, I was in the St. Louis airport and I became angry at somebody. And after I got angry, which was a big mistake, everybody else I approached looked at me and said, "No thanks." They just looked at me and said, "How does everybody know?" Because living entities are smart. Living entities may be open to suggestion, but they're also smart. They're part and parcel of Krishna. They're very sensitive. That's why they're called sentient beings. They can sense things. And they sense when somebody has some purity of heart, purity of purpose, when they've followed strictly, sincerely, seriously. And when they see somebody like that, they're compelled to ask, "What do you have?" They want to know what you have. And you'll see this for yourself, that purity is the force when you distribute books. And therefore, it's a never-ending cycle. You want to do more. And therefore, you come back and you try to make your sadhana more strict, serious, and sincere because you know that it has a direct effect on how other people see you and the success you'll have in interacting with them. So getting this overflow is what we do. In our communities, if you live in a home with a few people, if you get together and you chant good japa, you have a nice program in your house, and I've seen this in grihastha's homes. I've been to some homes where it's such a sweet program. I didn't want to leave. I stayed there for a few days and I went away feeling like I have to really increase my practice of Krishna consciousness. And what emanates from that place is this overflow. And in the temples where there's adequate hearing and chanting going on, where there's enthusiastic hearing of the shastra, of chanting and so forth, and this is emphasized, then there's this spiritual potency to give it to other people. And it's not just a potency, it's an overflow. It's a desire. There's a spring in one step. Sorry to use a cliche, but it's you feel happy all the time. And people want to share that happiness, and you want to share it, because happiness always wants to share itself. You never keep happiness to yourself. You try to give it to as many people as possible. And that's what we're doing in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, distributing happiness. It doesn't, if it becomes forced or pedantic in some way, then it can become dry. So we have to get this taste through strict, serious, sincere sadhana. Here's one way that you can do that. Read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. Is that unreasonable? Say no.
No.
No. Say it louder. Is that unreasonable?
No.
Absolutely not unreasonable. You can read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You could, at the very least, you could chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You could do all the Sanskrit, right? Couldn't you?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
And you could do the Sanskrit and the English, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you could. It only takes about 5 minutes. Like the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it takes you 5 minutes. What else happens in 5 minutes? People stand around. I see people all the time in lines. They're waiting for something. Like getting on the plane, that's the craziest thing. They're all looking. Can we hurry up? It's like, you're just going to sit there when you get on the plane anyway. And you know you're getting on because you're in line. So you could chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita standing in line. Post office, you could read the whole Bhagavad Gita. if you organize your day around this principle that today, no matter what, I'm going to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you'll have an extraordinary day. Not only that, when you put the book down and you're walking to the next part of your house or temple, wherever, those verses are going to repeat in your mind. You're walking down the steps and you're going to feel that the verses are still moving in your heart. And now you're fueled by Krishna's internal potency from reading the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we have some statements from Prabhupada. Please encourage the others to read this Bhagavad Gita at least one chapter every day. Bhagavad Gita as it is should be read by all of my students at least one chapter a day. Mm-hmm. He said it many, many times. That's why we formed an organization about 15 years ago, maybe it was longer, called CHAD. Everyone say CHAD.
CHAD.
It's an underground subversive organization. We're against the material energy. This, anybody can join. And all you have to do is agree to chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. It can be just the Sanskrit or just the English, so the Sanskrit and the English. And if you do that every day, you're in CHAD. And we actually have cards. You can be a card-carrying member of CHAD. And it's like a credit card. You can use it anywhere in New York or anywhere else. I mean, you can try. We have also a program called Be a Sage Page by Page. Some years ago, I looked at all Prabhupada's books and I was thinking, how am I going to read all these? I got so many other things to do. Did anybody ever think like that here?
Yes.
How am I going to read all these? I got so many things to do.
Yes.
Anybody
yes.
ever think like that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, for the five or six of you that said yes, everybody else cover your ears because you already know the answer. I looked at them and I said, how will I read all these books? And then I heard something from I read something by an author who said, whenever you have a big task, divide it into little slices. So that I thought, yeah, we can do that with the books. So with a friend, we went through all the books, we counted up all the pages, and said, how many pages do you have to read every day to finish the whole Bhagavatam in 1 month? Who knows the answer? 41. 41 pages. And it's a, if you know the number, is it possible to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't know the number, then it may be a lot more difficult because you don't know where you're going. Now, if you want to read it in 5 years, because you're going to be 5 years older in 5 years anyway, but if you finish the whole Bhagavatam, you're going to be a different person. How many pages do you have to read every day? Eight. 8 pages a day, and you're done in 5 years. And it's a time to celebrate. I see people who are following the system all the time now checking in on the internet, celebrating. I saw two last week who just finished the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. One of them sitting in this room. I don't want to reveal his name because he might get embarrassed. But the other one's in Denver, Colorado, and they just announced that, you know, I just finished the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're using this system. It's called Be a Sage, page by page. Now, at first we just had it on a little paper sheet to show you. It was a grid, right? You've seen that? Now it's an app. It works for OS and also for, what's that other one called? Android, yeah. Android. So this is our app. There's a team working on this app. You'll see lots of improvements coming into the app over time because it works perfectly now. It's very nice, but we have a lot of ideas for it. But in its essence, all you have to do on the picker wheel is pick whatever book you want to read, and then pick the time duration that you want to read it in, and it'll tell you the number of pages that you have to read it in. You can also click on the book, and it'll take you to the book online, so you can read it. You can also switch it over here to shlokas. It's a toggle switch in case you're reading electronically and you don't have pages. And also, it has a little daily reminder to finish your pages. And we're building in other aspects of it that are to be announced soon. One of them I can't hold it back, but we're building it. We have a little guy, a devotee, going around Govardhan Hill. And every time you read your pages and check them in, it moves your character further around Govardhan Hill. And when you get all the way to the end, it means you finished your book. You like that?
Yes.
Huh? Say yes. Come on.
Yes.
It's nice. All right. So, law number one. What's the first law?
Your
sadhana must be strong. Say it.
Your sadhana must be strong.
Yes. And what are some of the aspects of strong sadhana? Tell me three words. Strict, serious, sincere sadhana, because then you get a taste and then you have overflow, and that's what we're distributing, the overflow of taste. Okay? Yes. Ready for number two?
Yes.
Number two, you must get books. Say it.
You must get books.
Now I'm going to teach you how to say this one in a more fun way. You know when you join the military and you go into boot camp and they ask you a question, then you know how you have to answer? You say, sir, yes, sir. Try that. Say,
sir, yes, sir.
Okay, now when you say, when I ask you what number two is, not for all of them, just for this one, you say this. Are you ready?
Yeah. Get
okay, you're kicked out of the military. You just got kicked out. So number two law is, now you got to say it, military. Are you ready? What's the number two law? You're still kicked out of the military. Come on. Work with me. This is New York City. Let's go. Now, what's, now, what is the number two law of book distribution?
Get books!
You're getting there. You're getting there. Okay, get books, yeah. Because we've done studies at major universities, even Ivy League universities around America, and double-blind studies, and we found consistent data. You cannot distribute books you don't have. Now, this may seem simple, but as we went through the first slide deck and we found out how rare these books are, how they've been passed down to us as a gift, how printing books we can't take for granted. And the fact is that when you have books, then you'll start to feel compelled to get them. And there are many different kinds of books. We have languages, Vietnamese, Japanese, Farsi, Arabic, Korean, to name a few. And by the way, if you've ever thought, well, I can't go into a section of town and distribute books to people who speak Mandarin. Well, now you can. In my hand, I'm holding this handy card deck, and it has all the different languages of that people might speak that you'll meet in any part of New York City. And I'm here to tell you, I give a testimonial, and that is that it's easier to distribute a book to somebody when you don't speak their language and they don't speak yours than it is when you do speak their language and they do speak yours. Now, I know that may sound funny, but when you use a language card through this language card system, all you do is hand them the book, show them the card, and don't say a word. We had, in Jagannath Puri, in the last 2 years of our yatra, which is always in February, we had about 100 devotees from China and Japan. And they distributed, combinedly, in Jagannath Puri, in 5 days, 5,000 books in Aryan, Hindi, and Bengali. And they don't speak a word of Bengali, Aryan, or Hindi, and nobody we found in Jagannath Puri spoke Chinese or had ever seen a Chinese person before. And all they did was learn a system, which was go up, kick off your shoes, that means you're serious when you're in Orissa, and then they kick off their shoes, you hand them the book, then you hand them the language card, and then they just take it. And it works everywhere. And so these cards are available. They can be downloaded from our website, and you can take them anywhere. This weekend, we have them for all the spots that we're going to, so you can take these language cards and experiment, because you'll have a lot of fun when you meet people from other countries. And if you want, you can just learn a word or two in their language, and then you'll bridge the communication gap. People will love you. If you meet somebody who speaks Mandarin, you say, ni hao, they go, they're like, how'd you know? You know that, or for any language, if you say one word, they'll start to feel that you're their friend because you know one word in their language. So this is one of the very heartwarming parts of book distribution, is going out and meeting people that you never would have met before and connecting to them, crossing that communication bridge. Here's some of the beautiful books we have available right here in the United States. Can be ordered from Los Angeles in Japanese, Vietnamese, Arabic, Farsi. Chung Toi Dang Fan Pho Nong Chach Noi Cho Hoi Bin Do Gyo Su. Vietnamese. Chang Mon Joy, Chao Ko Mon Joy. A few words in Vietnamese, and people open their hearts. We've gone to Vietnamese areas in various cities, or Vietnamese town, one of the most upwardly mobile social groups in the world, and very spiritual too. They love our books. All these other languages, you learn a word in each one, you show them the book. Here I am at a Vietnamese mall, and I just went, this is a Starbucks. I sat down with my friends. They invited me to sit down after I said, Chang Manjoy. And I sat down. They all took Vietnamese books, and they were ecstatic. We went through the whole mall. Here's a Muslim mullah who spoke Farsi. And I had this one book in Farsi. He asked, I said, Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam, madhava kifi lak, alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar. And he said, you like Allah? I said, yes, of course. And he said, you pray 6 times every day? I said, 16 times. And he came over and he gave me a big hug. He was my best friend. He took this book, he gave a donation, and that book is sitting somewhere in Afghanistan right now. One book can change a whole country. And so these books, they go, they cross boundaries. They go to different geographical areas. They cross time boundaries. From generations, they get passed down from one person to another. The stories are abundant to hear about that. And to bridge that gap and meet these people and give them these books. He wanted to know where all the other Farsi books are. And so do I. So do we. We would like to see them and make them available to the world. Here we have... Now, of course, extra points for all of these categories of books. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you, when you distribute, if it matters to you, this is just something to encourage. When you distribute books, it counts more if you're playing, if you're keeping score at home. Law number three. First, what's the first law?
Sadhana.
Your sadhana must be strong. There's a rhythm to it. Say it. Your sadhana must be strong. Number two is two words.
Get books.
Good, good. You're in. Okay, and number three is, this is the one we always say twice. You don't have to say it military, but you have to say it twice. Are you ready? One, two, three. Correct, because this one's so important that when you show it, because little Jiva is walking around the universe and looking for something nice and not finding it. And if you show the books, then when Jiva walks over and sees what you have, then he or she will become attracted to it. So there are various ways you can innovate and you can bring the books out of the boxes, out of the cellar, and make them available in the light of day so that people can come and see them. Here's door to door. It's so much fun going door to door. You just knock on the door like this. And then when they open the door, you make a new friend and introduce what we have. And they'll be very happy. Some of them will be happy to invite you in. We were in Toronto recently. We had a whole apartment complex that was full of Muslim people, salt of the earth. Some of them wanted to come in and sit down. They bought Bhagavad Gitas. You don't know who you're going to meet out there, but Prabhupada said before he came to America when he was sitting in Vrindavan that everyone's sitting in their homes, they're looking out the window down the road, and they are wondering, when are Gauri Nitai going to come and save me? So that's what people are doing at home. Then we have all kinds of events. Here's the police getting in on the action. Here's this Mataji who sets up a stand every day and distributes hundreds of books. And there are events everywhere in New York City. This is one that we do regularly in the autumn time in Silicon Valley called the Pumpkin Festival. And we discovered why we were so successful when we noticed the match between the, the color of the books. Diwali events. Here's one for people who like to distribute books when they're sleeping. This is called the Smart Box. And this is a handy little device that you can place in any store or a doctor's office or any other place you can imagine. It has the books in it, and it has a little donation box. It has the price right on there. And what happens, people take the books off the rack, and they put the money in the box. And then what you have to do is go and take all the money and then fill it back up again. Does that sound more difficult than you can handle? Let me just reiterate. Pick up the money and fill up the box. Does that sound more difficult than you can handle? Okay, thank you. Please say no. Okay, so smart boxes, some cities like have over 100 boxes, some over 200 boxes sitting around the city, sitting all over the city, and we have people regularly walk into our community holding a book, and they go, where'd you get that? And they go, oh, I bought it at the store. And it's like, what store? And they'll tell us, oh, you got it from the Smart Box. So these are very successful little machines that sell books. There's tables. When you set up a table, it makes you like an official concessionaire. You have an official business open anywhere, and New York City is an excellent place for this because they invite booksellers to set up here. There's an old law here that people selling books are good, and they should be everywhere. So we should take advantage of it. Kids Sankirtan is huge. Kids love Sankirtan. It's taking off in many places. ISV, we have over 100 kids that go on book distribution. Some of them have been going out since they were born. Wow. And now they're 16, 17 years old, and they're Sankirtan leaders. And other places are getting into it, for instance, in the UK. And when kids learn Sankirtan, it's way better than an MBA. They know how to communicate to people. They know how to face rejection when it comes up. And they actually start to develop compassion. They start to know what it means to go out and deal with the modes of material nature in a very practical way. They're not sheltered and in one little culture, but they get to see the world, which is very important. Keep going. Yeah, Prabhupada wanted sets of books in everyone's home. So this person I used to read about sales, Tom Hopkins, he was called the best salesman in the world. He said, always sell in bunches like bananas. If you can sell one, then you can sell five. You can sell five, you can sell 25. You can bunch them together. And what we have is bunches of books. So don't be afraid to show the whole bunch, because the more you show,
the more you sell.
And when you show it, then people will take it. Here's a house. They were afraid to let us in at first, and for good reason. But they finally did, and we opened up the set of Bhagavatams, and we showed it to them. And after a while, they decided, yes, we should take it. Only thing is, we don't have any space for it, which is one of the main excuses people say they can't take the set. I don't have any place to put it. So we try to help them out. So I went over this shelf where the red arrow was pointing. Superimposed on the screen. That thing was full of old games and hairbrushes, broken stuff. I went over and I said, ma'am, do you need this? I held up one thing after another. Do you need that? And they go, not really. Do you need this? Do you need that? After a while, the whole shelf was clear. And they go, hey, we found a space for you. And what happens when the Bhagavatam moves into people's houses, all the junk moves out. It's like pouring milk into a glass of ink. And it's profound what happens when people decide to put the Bhagavatam in their house. It's not the money that counts. I mean, the money's insignificant. They're only $250, $300. That's how much a salad costs here in New York City for at one of these restaurants. But what's significant is when they put it in their house, it's a statement that now I'm spiritual. People come over and go, hey, Larry, you a Hare Krishna or what? You know? And he goes, all right, I'm a Hare Krishna. I got the books, I admit it. And their whole life changes once these books move in. It's a nuclear option. So all you have to do is show. We have this organization called Go Matsya. Matsya Save the Vedas. And this is a way of presenting Bhagavatam where we invite people to become distributors right when we meet them. And we show them that we're preserving Vedic culture through mass distribution and education. And now we're claiming hundreds of members all over the world who are going out and passing on the Bhagavatam to others, and of course keeping it home for themselves. We just had Bhadra Purnima. Who participated here? Bhadra Purnima. Say Hari Bol if you participated.
Hari Bol!
Okay, about half the audience. That this is the day every year on the full moon in Bhadra, this is the month of Bhadra we're in now, when you give away a full set of Bhagavatams, you get the gift of going back home, back to Godhead. Return gift. So all over the world, we had this initiative, and here's the results. They just came in. For North America, we did 1,249 sets of Bhagavatams in the last few weeks. Wow. Say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
6-7 years ago, 100 sets a year was something extraordinary. But this Bhadra Purnima is a huge thing. You can start working on it now for next year. And all around the world, there were thousands that went out on that one day. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, people love this book. It's the golden avatar. They can put it in their house. Here's Shraddha Devi Dasi. She just sold a set of Bhagavatams to this nice Muslim man from Morocco.
Wow.
who was very spiritually minded and was very happy to have a set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in his house. And we also have this program. We put all the books and everything else we can think of in one package and offer that. And what do you think happens when we show it to people? Based on this law, number three. What's the number three law?
The more you show, the more you show.
So when we show this to people, what do you think happens?
They buy it.
They buy it all.
Yes, they buy it.
They buy it all.
And what would happen, this is a quiz, if we didn't show it to anybody? If we kept it a secret, we didn't even make pictures of it or put it together, what would happen if we didn't show anybody or tell anybody about it?
They wouldn't get it.
They wouldn't have it.
How many would we sell?
Zero.
Approximately. Approximately zero. So now in Motel Gita, which is just starting to pick up steam, 450,000 Bhagavad Gita's placed over the last 5 years from the Motel Gita program. Which just means that moteliers are waiting to have Bhagavad Gita's put in their drawers. Little hint or clue, 65% of moteliers are Gujaratis.
That's right.
Now, if that's not Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, I don't know what is. And don't come complaining to me that he hasn't given us facility to spread the Krishna conscious movement. But when he does, you have to take advantage of it. This should be 450 million of Bhagavad Gita's that we have through this. And it's a very easy way to distribute Bhagavad Gita's by approaching those moteliers and putting the Gita's in their motels. Very easy. There's one of them. Law number four, you must organize. Please say.
You must organize.
But before I go into this, what's law number one?
You start with that.
Number two.
Get
number three is we always say twice.
The more you show, the more you sell.
And number four?
You must organize.
You must organize. Yes, you must. So this was these were Prabhupada's words. This was part of his mission in the seven purposes of ISKCON. He writes, with a view towards achieving aforementioned purposes to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. If you realize what this means, he put six others before this and said, in order to reach the other six, we would sell books. So the books are front and center. Actually, they're the last, but he mentions that they're the ways of achieving the first six that he mentions. Now, organizing means you have to pull out your calendar. You actually have to put the monthly Sankirtan Festival as an example on the calendar. When we first started our monthly Sankirtan Festival about 7 years ago, maybe it was more, and I can't even remember time these days, but we decided we'd have it once a month. And for a long time, we would decide the date it would occur about 2 weeks ahead of time. Then it started, after about a year of that, we said, why don't we just decide ahead of time? So on January 1st, we'd all get together and we'd pick all the dates and we'd put them on the calendar and say, these are monthly Sankirtan Festival dates when the whole community comes together and goes out to have fun and to feel what it's like to go out into the great unknown and take a risk and go out and make friends with people and give them the great gift of Bhagavad Gita and share from our hearts whatever we have to give. And once we did, we had these points in time when we'd have the monthly Sankirtan Festival. Then we had the benefit of forced efficiency. It means that every month, although that's a long period of time to get ready, we are always building for success in the next monthly Sankirtan Festival. And what that does for your community or your family or wherever you may live, whatever unit you exist in, it brings it up to a higher level. Even this monthly Sankirtan Festival, doing this weekend, just our communication, our purposeful communication and the team members has increased two or threefold. And we've found so many things that we needed to buy, to organize, to put together, and we've come to a higher level. What do you think, Hansarupa? Is that true? He thinks it's true. So this once a month, this is an example of organization. All the skills that you use to organize your household, your business, they should all be employed in organizing for Sankirtan. And when you do that, for instance, by setting goals, my good friend named Will McCoy, actually Paramahamsa, goals are potent. It's a very powerful mantra that if you have a goal, then you're serious. If you don't have a goal, then you're just doing it as a hobby, playing around. But if you want to increase book distribution, part of organization is have a goal and plan for it. These are some of our growth statistics in North America. You see, we're down here in 2008. This was almost out of existence. The BBT almost went out of business, actually. It was in grave danger of going out of existence. And then, through organization, we've increased every single year, 5-year annual growth rate of 18%. And now we're looking to beat India, who's up at about 4.5 million. And so how is this done? By setting goals, by brainstorming, and by using the principle of incremental improvements. How to make something better, a little bit better every single month. Three things you got to make better every single month. And when you do that and follow the four laws of book distribution, then you'll have these kinds of increases in your community or in your home or your personal distribution. This was our first book center in somebody's garage as a form of organization. And keeping track of what you're collecting, taking close accounts, using all kinds of technology to keep everybody in the team informed. For instance, now most Sankirtan teams use WhatsApp, and they're sending pictures and they're keeping in touch in these kinds of ways. So there's the Sankirtan newsletter, report and read your scores, make it visible. This is something that was started in the 70s, and Prabhupada liked it very much, the measuring of how many books each temple was doing. For the first year, there were only 3 temples that were reporting. And then Prabhupada made an edict. He said everybody should submit to them. And then he said, I'm reading this. And then everyone started sending in their scores. It's a way that keeps you focused on your goals. So, 4 laws of book distribution. Number 1. Number 2.
Get books.
Number 3.
More you show the more you sell.
Number 4.
You must organize.
Yeah. So, these 4 laws are particularly important and potent. And if you follow them in your own personal life for expanding book distribution or in your community, you'll find that you will succeed. Succeed means that you'll be able to incrementally increase the quality and the quantity of books that you distribute, and that the people who are involved in your team will feel happy to be involved. And now we'll take some questions. Any questions you may have for the next few minutes? Yes. The language cards? Here, you can have a look. What did I do with them? They're in here? Here. Careful, they're a little sharp on the edges. You can have a look. You can pass those around, just give them back to me when you're done. Here's also a new tool that we have. These are QR codes. Now when you take these QR codes out and you meet somebody, rather than saying, you want to give your name and address, then it takes a while. It's a little bit higher of a hill to climb for people that actually hand over. But if you just say, here, put your camera on here, and it'll immediately take them to a page where ask them for particular information. They just type it in, and it goes right into the right box. We have several places here. These are all different QR codes. Yes?
Do they need an app to scan it?
Right now, all you have to do is point your phone. I know for Apple, you just open your phone and just point it, and it does the rest. Figures it all out.
Just
put it on the phone. Put it on the phone. And then point it at the QR. Yes, Prabhu.
I would like to thank you for the lecture, first of all.
Yes.
And I admire everything that you are doing. I think I'm nobody to kind of like analyze, but I think that you are very much on the right track. I know that you have a lot of students here who's going to come up to you after the program, but I'm just going to use the time to tell you, if you need any kind of help with video, because that's what I do. I'm graduating college right now. I'm going to give my email to Diana.
Okay.
And if you need any help in terms of producing the content,
yeah,
please somehow
Thank
we're
you.
Gonna connect. Okay?
We do.
I really would like what to
is
help
your,
you.
What is your name?
My name is Dennis.
Dennis, pleasure to meet you. My name is Vaisheshika.
Yes.
Dennis, you know, this is a prime example of how the Sankirtan team grows. It's by inspiration. We get together, we talk about it, we focus on the importance of it, and people come forward. The leaders emerge. They come forward and they say, I'm in, and this is what I can do. And everybody can do something. Everybody has something to offer to the Sankirtan team. We all work together. It's a lot of devotees, each doing a little bit, and we don't focus on individual scores. We focus on a team score. When it's a team score, all for one and one for all, then everyone feels encouraged to do their level best to support the team. Yes, Prabhu? Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
So, yeah. Initially, I did not try this, but I realized it is very good for my spiritual life. I started doing book distribution. But it's not a very pleasant experience. You know, I'm doing it because it is good for me, but I mean, I could not.
So Prabhu is saying that he's going out to do book distribution for his own purification, but he doesn't find it to be a pleasant experience.
Because the results are not great.
Because the results aren't great. So now, let me give you a couple tips. First of all, tomorrow we're having a training session. And I guarantee you, when you take the training session tomorrow, it's very practical, hands-on, then you'll be much better equipped to go out and distribute books. One of the ways that book distribution becomes difficult and a struggle is when you don't have sufficient training. So I'm going to teach you a method tomorrow, for instance, to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit that I guarantee you'll be able to sell a Bhagavad Gita to anyone, anywhere, at any time, and it'll be fun. And the hardest part of, for instance, distributing a Bhagavad Gita for most people is asking for donation. I'm going to show you, teach you a donation, a way to ask for a donation that I use, which is an evolution of my own realization of why I'm asking for a donation, that you'll find will people will be very happy to donate. They won't feel inconvenienced at all. And in fact, they'll be very enthusiastic to give you whatever they can in exchange for what you're offering them. And the second thing is, if you're feeling any kind of struggle or inconvenience, first of all, actually two more points. One is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when we go out into the great unknown and offer Krishna consciousness to others, if there is some resistance, he said, in that resistance, you're developing spiritual blood for your spiritual body. He said, your chid sharira gets chid rakta. And that spiritual blood for your spiritual body, when people are not completely harmonious when you present it, then that's, he said, that's how you're getting spiritual blood. And the third thing is change your definition of success. We're not going out to sell books, we're going out for our own purification. If you just walk out the door, you're successful. Like tomorrow, when we go out for book distribution, we're not going to sell any books. We're just seeing if we can go from point A to the points we've picked out in the city, and you're going to get there and touch the pavement. And once you do, you're done for the day. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to prove yourself in any way, other way. And anything else you do is extra. And you'll be really happy. So I, a long time ago, changed my idea of what is success. It's not in selling the book. It's in enacting the will to go out and fulfill the order. And that's good enough in itself. You don't have to worry about being successful beyond that. A couple more? Yes.
I love what you said earlier. People aren't actually buying the book. They're buying what's in your eyes.
Yes. They're not buying, people aren't buying the book, but they're buying what's in your eyes. And you'll find that this thing about eyes is a major part of the training program that I'm going to do tomorrow. How when you look at another person's eyes, you'll be able to tell whether they're open to taking a book or not. And when we go out, we're looking for ripe fruits. When you go to pick fruits, you pick the ripe fruits. You don't try to grab the unripe fruits off the vine. And that makes a big difference. We're not trying to convince everybody. We're trying to pick out or select the people that are already ready. And I'll show you how to do that. It's not hard. Yes?
I'm not sure that I understood correctly. So if I go anywhere in the United States, I go to the table and visit books and go to sell it, it's not prohibited.
Anywhere in New York, yeah. Of course, you would want to actually research a little bit the parts in New York, that might have been a little bit of hyperbole, only that part, about, you know, where you can put tables and so forth, because I'm so enthusiastic about New York. New York is a place where, you know, people are out in front of their stores. They like things on the street. It's the mode of the city, and there are laws that permit people who are selling books to be out with tables. So we're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to have some tables set up. There's ways to embellish the tables with some signage and things like that that make it even nicer. And those come in the category of room for improvement for the next monthly Sankirtan festival. What time tomorrow? We're meeting tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, at the Bhakti Center. Bhagavatam class, and then after that is training at the Bhakti Center at what time?
9 to 12,
and then we're going to walk out the door together into the great unknown. And all we're going to do is touch the pavement, and it's a photo op. You too can have your picture touching the pavement together with your team members that'll be immortalized on the internet. That I was there, I touched the pavement. I remember that time in 2018 when we revived this monthly Sankirtan festival. One of the things that Atmanivedana Prabhu kept going here for so many years, and now we're just bringing back that same spirit. You can be part of it. And now we're over time, so I won't take any more of your time, and I want to thank you very, very much for coming down here tonight and listening. If anything you heard sparked anything in your heart, then keep fanning that spark. Oh yes, Hansa Rupa Prabhu.
I want to say very loudly that prasadam will be served at the Bhakti Center.
Prasadam will be served at the Bhakti Center.
Everyone has to walk around the corner.
Everyone has to walk around the corner.
I believe that if there's any volunteers needed to help the ladies carry over their tea and whatnot, that would be helpful.
And we need some volunteers.
And we'll need some volunteers afterwards for cleanup. That's always something we tend to forget.
Okay.
And thank you very much to Vaisheshika Prabhu for coming and enlivening us with this. I'm eager to get out and touch the street tomorrow.
Hansa Rupa Prabhu's coming out. He leads from the front.
Good.
Nice.
Actually, I'll be out there, front or not, but I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, there's a lot more to say tomorrow. The time we had today was just enough to wet our whistle, to prime the pump a little bit, to give a little orientation towards what's going on. But the real thing is when you see the training, and I'm going to show you practically so you can develop confidence in how to hand a book over, what to say exactly, and it's just a template. Later on, you can improvise and do your own thing, but once you learn this template, you'll feel very confident about going anywhere and meeting anybody. You'll know how to meet people, you'll know which people to select, you'll know exactly what to say so they'll take a book, and if you decide to ask for a donation, you'll have a donation line that I guarantee, I'm so confident about it, if you use this donation line, if they don't give a donation, I'll make up for it myself. I'll take it out of my own pocket and pay you back. Just keep a record and I'll send it to me. Am I crazy or what? Okay, so it's, in closing, it's very, very ripe opportunity we have right now here in New York City to come together on this, through book distribution and Sankirtan, chanting holy names and passing out prasadam to the people. And you may think once a month doesn't sound like enough. It is for the masses. When we come together, a lot of us each doing a little bit and organized like this, it will cause the one of the aspects that makes a renaissance in New York City that will be noticeable all over the world. I thank you very, very much. Go pray manande. Nitai Gaura Haribo. 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Nitai Gaura Haribo. Go. Haribo. Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakalpadurusha kripasindabhi vichapatitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Natchariyar marman, natchariyar marman.
Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, hey, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman.